Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Wow, we're just torn between a pair of national days today on this episode of KKHI. It is National Barbecue Day, which means I guess you're supposed to grill and make your own queue, or you're supposed to go to your favorite barbecue restaurant and eat. So I'm all about that. I'll remind you, our friends at Smoke and Fire in Overland Park at 119th and Metcalf are fine sponsors of the show and KK List members. And they do a great job. If you're looking for a new grill or any accessories like that, they're awesome. On National Barbecue Day, it is National Barbecue Month. But I got a text yesterday from my buddy, John Hutchins. This is where I get really confused on the national days. I never know how many national days there are on a day. But today, Tuesday, May 16th, in addition to National Barbecue Day, is also National Garage Improvement Day, which I did not know existed, Hutch. And I promised him, I said, I'll hook you up. I'll definitely get you a mention on the podcast. But since you went to the trouble of pointing out to me that there is such a thing as a national, not National Garage Day, not National Garage Appreciation Day, not National Clean Out Your Garage Day, not National Take Care of Your Car in Your Garage Day, it is National Garage Improvement Day. So there you go, Hutch. AmazingGarageFloors.net. That's my guy. Now, I got to figure Hutch is one of maybe about 10 people in the city that know it's National Garage Improvement Day, but I've got mad respect for that. And the fact that he got a hold of me yesterday and said, hey, you got to mention this yesterday. If you're doing one of my spots, you got to do this. I said, well, I'm not going to do a spot for you, but I'll put it right up front. Who wouldn't? I mean, this is why you hit the play button of KKHI. Who doesn't want to know that it's National Garage Improvement Day? Fantastic stuff. Thank you, Hutch. If you want to improve your garage, there's nothing more you can do better than the floor. You know that. It's AmazingGarageFloors.net. They are awesome. Awesome folks, and that is so great. I may, since my garage floor is currently so clean, I may eat a brisket sandwich in my garage today. Ooh, that's checking a couple of boxes right there. I do. I think I'm going to find a bar. I have not had a brisket sandwich, and I don't know how long. I deserve this. Jessica's going to be gone most of the day. I'm just going to sneak off somewhere on my own. I'm going to go get a brisket sandwich today. Going to do that. I've earned it. I've deserved the right. Okay, yesterday, one of the things we do here at KKHI with the Patron Podcast is we do breaking news. And as you know, the Durham Report was released yesterday. It's a scathing rebuke of tactics of the Department of Justice and the FBI. And we did a full podcast on this yesterday when it happened. If you want to get those as they occur, when there's breaking news, we do those typically afternoon, early evening, 2, 3, sometimes more often per week. If you want to get those, I'd encourage you to go to kkhasissues.com and sign up to become a patron. Do that on either your laptop or your desktop. It's easier than on your phone. kkhasissues.com. Click on Become a Patron right on the upper right-hand corner, and you'll get those right away. In the Patron Podcast, we went through various points of the Durham Report and things that it said. I'm not going to redo that here because so many of you are patrons and there's a reason why we do certain things in the Patron Podcast, but I think you'll find that very interesting. If you sign up today, you can get yesterday's Patron Podcast. In fact, if you sign up today, you get every Patron Podcast there ever was and could go back through and listen to some before and after the Super Bowl and some fun things like that. The archives are always there. So if you'd like to become a patron, you can get the complete recap of the Durham Report and the different things that it said. What I want to focus on today, since most of you have read and heard about this Durham Report, and my headline yesterday was simply the Dems win again, because they delayed this thing for how long? 7 years? 8 years this took for the entire thing? It comes out. The Democrats scammed everybody. We know that. And nobody's going to jail. Apparently nothing's going to happen to any of them. And at this point, not very many people care because this was about 2016 and Donald Trump. I think, and what I really want to focus on in this podcast, what's interesting, and you know that I do this a lot, is focus on today. How does this apply to what's going on right now? And Jim Jordan is saying, yeah, we're going to have hearings. I'm sick of hearings. Nobody ever gets indicted. I'm sick of hearings. Are any of these people going to be fired at the FBI or Department of Justice? We'll see. Is anybody going to jail? Probably not. Did Trump's people go to jail over this? Yes, they did. We'll recount that for you in a moment. But The thing that stood out to me in the hours after this all happened was how quickly the FBI responded. And this is the warning that we are nowhere near cleaning this up, and we have a lot of work to do with the FBI and the Department of Justice. This is how you know. This is where a lot of times the Democrats overplay their hand and they're easy to read. The FBI responded just a few hours after the Durham report came out. They responded publicly after it was determined by John Durham that the FBI had failed miserably, putting on an investigation of Donald Trump and Russia collusion. The FBI puts out this statement, quote, "The conduct in the 2016 and 17 that Special Counsel Durham examined was the reason that current FBI leadership already has implemented dozens of corrective actions, which have now been in place for some time. Had those reforms been in place in 2016, the missteps identified in this report could have been prevented. This report reinforces the importance of ensuring the FBI continues to do its work with rigor, objectivity, and professionalism the American people deserve and highly respect." This is the biggest load of BS I have ever heard from any government agency ever in my life. This is absolutely false. This is the main story. The FBI was ready for this. They had their lawyers ready to write this up and present this to the American public and reassure that what happened 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, isn't happening now. We knew all this that's in the Durham report. We took steps and we don't do this anymore. Oh, really? So when we see the FBI raid Mar-a-Lago, we don't think anything about this. We can't connect any dots between the Durham report, the actions of a politicized FBI, and a raid on Mar-a-Lago a few months ago? You're telling us with your lies, and I don't like to throw around the term lies. I think if you know somebody is lying, you better know they're lying. And to me, when I grew up, calling somebody a liar is a big deal. It's easier to say, look, this isn't the truth. They're misleading you, whatever. When you call somebody a liar, that's nefarious. This is a flat-out lie by the FBI. You cannot say what occurred in 2016, according to the Durham report, we've known about for years and we've worked on and we're objective and we're highly respected and this isn't going to happen again. Months after you raided a president's house. Can't be done. You can't unring this bell. The alarm went off when you went on to Mar-a-Lago. This is a national emergency. The federal government has been weaponized by the left against the American public. It certainly has massive bias toward people on the right and people who are white. We know what they're up to. The jig is up. They're caught. This is it. We see it. Apparently, John Durham and Mueller and special counsels that are out there are the last bastion of anything in our society, any operation in the DC swamp that can be counted on to be unbiased in any way. Nobody's criticizing Durham for this report. Notice that nobody on the left is saying, this isn't true. This didn't happen. The FBI isn't like this. They're saying, oh, we've fixed this. This was so long ago. It's no longer this way. Really? Well, who fixed it? Trump doesn't say he fixed it. I don't hear Trump saying, yeah, from 16 to 20, I was in there and I fixed the FBI. I don't hear that. So we're to assume that Joe Biden has fixed it? Joe Biden, who raided Trump's house, has fixed it? This is the worst of America. This is the lowest of the low. This is the FBI. A once trusted an admired organization flat out lying to America about the police state that they've created targeting people on the right. What are the facts? How do we know this has happened? You don't have to look any further than Peter Strzok. Do you remember this guy's name? Peter Strzok was the guy that they took the original BS non-evidence to after they made up some Russian peace tape story and collusion. They leaked it to CNN. CNN put it on the news and said, according to sources, this happened. It was all fake. It was all fake from the beginning. all of it was fake from the beginning. But once CNN reported it, now we got to create a file. What's the evidence? What do people have? Let's hand it to Peter Strzok, who texts his lover on the side, Lisa Page, who's also in the FBI, that they're going to F Trump over. Okay, there are texts that this was their goal, was to get then the then sitting president. We're going to get him. And what does this report say Peter Strzok did? Peter Strzok is guilty of starting an investigation before even contacting, let alone interviewing, before even contacting the people that had been mentioned in the media reports about this Russia collusion. So he just took it and ran with it. Okay, great. You dropped it on my desk. I hate Trump. Here we go. Let's open the investigation. And there goes Peter Strzok. And how do you know how evil and probably beloved on the left Peter Strzok is? Peter Strzok was the guy yesterday doing a victory lap over the Durham report. He looks worse in it than anyone, but knows nobody's going to touch him. Republicans in Congress aren't going to be able to do anything to him. They're not going to touch him. Now, watch out. Elections matter. If Trump wins and the Republicans get it all, they're going to prosecute some people. We're a couple of years away from that. I don't think they can really do anything now. They might be able to create some public pressure to fire some people or to take some pensions away from some people, things like that. But that isn't what Peter Strzok was crowing about. What was he bragging about? What was his victory lap on Monday when this came out? His was a middle finger in the air that said, nanny, nanny, ha, ha. Peter Strzok tweets, guilty. He's like, really? The investigation didn't learn anything, didn't do anything? The investigation was worth nothing? Guilty. And he mentioned Rick Gates, General Flynn, George Papadopoulos, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, and Michael Cohen. Guilty, 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 guilty. He puts them all on Twitter and is like, really? This was a bogus investigation? To which, I'm not even a lawyer. This is the easiest response in the history of the world. You took, this is how bad it is. This is why this is criminal. You took false information, information that is probably provable that you knew was false. Because you darn sure didn't do any research and investigation and interviews to prove that it was true. The report clearly says you basically just took people's word for it. You didn't do the hard work because you knew if you did the hard work, it would be learned that this information was false. So you took the false information. You went after Trump surrogates for other things, tax issues, money, bookkeeping errors. They didn't go after any of these people on Russia collusion. The FBI went after all Trump's peoples for other charges, other things. Again, what they're doing to Trump right now in New York City is show me the man and I'll find the crime. And I'm sure that applies to everyone listening right now. Somebody somewhere has had a bookkeeping error on their tax returns, even if at some point it was an accountant that did it for you. There's a mistake somewhere. There is. We all have mistakes. Most of them, most people, they're honest mistakes. I don't know about all these people, but here's Peter Strzok on the day that he couldn't look worse. He is bragging that they convicted Gates, Flynn, Papadopoulos, Manafort, Stone, and Cohen off of the investigation, which was false pretense. I think the government, if we want reparations in this country, the reparations are owed to those people. You investigated them under false premises. That is worth reparations. These people should be paid out by the federal government, that they were charged, convicted, tried, all this other stuff. Over what? Something we learned was completely bogus. Even CNN anchors were saying, wow, this is a bad day for the FBI. And yes, CNN is becoming more honest. What they are putting in their coverage now, and they're not going to sit there and do, you know, we love Trump. That's not what CNN's going to do. What they're doing now that they haven't done in the past is they're doing what Fox News does. They're putting news on the air that's bad for Democrats. They're just reporting the news. They reported this yesterday, and many of their hosts and anchors, when they had guests on and were interviewing, was saying, this isn't the best day for the FBI. This certainly doesn't look good. And they'll ask people on the far left, and then those people go, well, who cares? Doesn't matter. Trump's a loser, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. You can do that when you bring up the topic, wow, this report is something else, and it looks bad for the FBI and the Department of Justice. So at the very, and we've talked about omission a lot on this podcast, about leaving important information out of stories. CNN is now starting to put those things into their coverage, which is a step in the right direction. It's not necessarily a move to the center, but is a giant step toward fairness for the American people, toward make up your own decision. At least if you're a CNN watcher, of which there aren't many, but if you are, at least you know you're hearing from your people, wow, the FBI screwed over Trump. And there were even people on there saying things like, Trump is pretty much exonerated here. He's right. Everything he said all along, it was a witch hunt, he's right. And there's Peter Strzok out there bragging about convicting political enemies for other charges other than what this was investigation starting. Bragging about it. Almost ruining National Garage Improvement Day. Peter Strzok. Man, these people are bad. These people are bad, and the FBI is lying when they tell you, oh, yeah, we knew about all this. That's why we've cleaned it up. We're not doing it anymore. This stuff is so easy to refute. I've got the easiest job there is. Really? You've cleaned it up. Didn't you just run into Trump's house? Who cleaned it up? Trump doesn't claim he cleaned it up. So it had to be Biden. But didn't Biden just send the FBI into Trump's house? There's been nothing cleaned up on this. It's ongoing. It hasn't changed one iota, and everybody knows it. Absolutely embarrassing. As a footnote to that, we also learned, this is great, we also learned on Monday, because, you know, they're cleaning everything up. Everything's being cleaned up by the Department of Justice and the FBI and the IRS. They're cleaning it all up, you know. We knew this was going on. We've taken steps. There's a whistleblower from the IRS that has gone to Congress concerning Hunter Biden cheating on taxes and money coming in, basically not reporting it. This is a money laundering scheme that they had going with these international dignitaries, businessmen, whatever you want to call them. The whistleblower from the IRS has now told Congress on Monday, because this was not reported anywhere else, the whistleblower told Congress, and they've released the information, that the entire investigative team at the IRS that's been investigating Hunter Biden for 3 years has been removed and replaced. That's right. Whistleblower comes forward. Congress starts in on this. And Joe Biden has the entire investigative team removed and replaced. Now, it didn't say fired. I'm guessing they've been reassigned, taken off the case, whatever. That may lead to more whistleblowers. I don't know what they figure their end game is here, and I don't know what's going to happen with Hunter Biden, but they've caught him. There's whistleblowers. They know what he did, and you can remove and replace these people, but they've been working on it for about 3 years. They know exactly. They know all this stuff. Even in their heads, they know it all. Trust me. These people aren't stupid. They're IRS investigators. They have it all in their heads. They've now been removed and replaced. So on the day that the FBI is bragging that they've cleaned everything up, we get Peter Strzok bragging that he convicted people off false claims, and the IRS is replacing and removing the investigators on the team for Hunter Biden within months of raiding Donald Trump's house. Yeah, okay. We don't live in America anymore, folks. There's no other way to say it. When I was a kid growing up, we heard about stuff like this in the Soviet Union. We heard about it in faraway places, where the difference between a Republican and a Democrat in this country wasn't really that much. It was, should we be in Vietnam or shouldn't we be? But voters of both parties went to church, loved America, would do anything for her. We believed in our government and our institutions. And it all broke down somewhere apparently in about the 1960s with the Kennedy assassination. Lyndon Johnson as president is where it all became breaking down. We get a great society. We've got all these government things being implemented. And it just all started to break down. Watergate happened. Watergate is a pimple on your ass compared to this stuff. These people, everybody's always afraid to compare we got to be careful on the right and say this is worse than Watergate. This is Watergate times 1,000. Watergate was Nixon's political team trying to record some conversations of his opponent for their own use. Just like intel, like trying to find out what's going on over there. That's it. This is a completely orchestrated FBI, Department of Justice, Obama administration, by the way. The report says, you know, the Obama administration didn't really have concrete information on this to run this up the chain, but they did it anyway. Remember, this started under Obama because Hillary Clinton was running for president. That's when it started. Obama was pissed at Trump over the birth certificate thing. Obama started this. It says very clearly in here, Obama had no reason to start this. He doesn't look good either. Hillary Clinton looks worse than all of them. This all started before Trump won. They thought, we're going to do this. We've got them anyway. He's not going to win. Maybe we'll jail this guy somewhere down the road. If he doesn't win, we'll go get him then. Or we'll just hold it over his head after Hillary wins and he'll keep his mouth shut. That's all this was. They're all caught. It's everyone. It's the entire party. It's the entire deep state. The deep state is not some hoax. The deep state is not a conspiracy theory. It is alarmingly real. Incredibly real. All right, we're rolling today on KKHI. This stuff gets me fired up, man. I want to let you know we're brought to you by Tickets for Less right now, featuring Chiefs tickets. That's right, on sale now to see your defending champion Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead this season at ticketsforless.com. They open the season against the Lions. Ooh, that's a big Thursday night game. That'll be fun. For the best seats without the outrageous service fees, ticketsforless.com. Plus, the Chiefs host a pair of massive playoff rematches. Week 11 with the Eagles, week 17 with the Bengals. They got all this great stuff at ticketsforless.com. You will save money by buying now and not waiting until these games are much more important as the season unfolds. You know these games are going to be important. Go get them. Ticketsforless.com has a new cart feature. You can get your tickets, parking, and tailgate all on one single transaction. Shop the best selection of Chiefs tickets today at ticketsforless.com. Do not forget promo code KKHI. You save money every time you buy anything at ticketsforless.com or on the phone, 685-3322. If you use the promo code KKHI. Bstock.net is rocking this week, man. They are loaded with TVs. They've got great deals on Samsung 75-inch, Samsung 50-inch, especially low. Especially low, right? Target sells the Samsung Q60B 50-inch for $599. Bstock has it for $399. And right now, if you've got room, they're going to make this happen for you. I've got an 86-inch television in my basement on the wall. $899 right now, LG 86-inch, free delivery if you live in Kansas City. Free delivery. Don't forget, they have some appliances brand new. Some are scratch indent, but some are brand new. Just one little scratch on the side with full warranty and all kinds of laptops. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Finch Knife Company is now proud to display the Finch pocket knife called Flint. It is a series of knives that have a 3-inch blade, satin finish, titanium clips. Spence and Steve are very proud of this line of knives at Finch Knife Company. If you'd like to see them, log on to finchknifeco.com or visit Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. They're in the display cases, and these babies are beauties. In this world, you probably ought to be carrying one of these every single day. Finch Knife Co. Keep life from getting dull. Before all this other stuff came out, I planned to spend a lot of time today on an election alert concerning artificial intelligence. AJ Nash is the vice president of Intel for a cybersecurity firm called ZeroFox. And he was at a symposium where he said, we are not prepared for this. The big leap forward is the audio and video capabilities that have emerged in artificial intelligence. When you do that on a large scale and distribute it on social platforms, it's going to have a major impact. He is warning about the 24 elections. Among the capabilities of AI, the ramifications are with elections and voting, automated robocall messaging, in a candidate's voice that's fake, instructing voters to cast ballots on the wrong date, audio recordings of a candidate supposedly confessing to a crime or expressing racist views, video footage showing someone giving a speech or interview they never gave, fake images designed to look like local news reports, falsely claiming a candidate dropped out of a race. Oren Etzioni is the founding CEO of the Allen Institute for AI. He stepped down last year to start a nonprofit AI2, which apparently its goal is to be clean. And this man said, quote, "What if Elon Musk personally calls you and tells you to vote for a certain candidate? A lot of people are going to listen to that, but it's not really him. It's artificial intelligence." Peter Stoyanov is a global technology chief at Forcepoint, a cybersecurity company in Austin, Texas. He's predicted that groups looking to meddle in U.S. democracy will deploy AI and synthetic media to erode trust. What happens, he says, if an international entity, a cyber criminal or a national state, impersonates someone? What's the impact? The main concern here for many is to deceive and split voters and incite violence. Does it sound like I'm describing Democrats in an election to you? So everyone that knows AI has said, here's the playbook. We have already seen, if you haven't seen it, you can Google it, you can find it. We have already seen the Trump mugshot. Have you not seen that? That was artificial intelligence. It's everywhere. He had that day where he went to court. AI was ready. They put it out everywhere. The Trump mugshot is fake. It's fake, but it doesn't matter. It sticks in people's minds. They saw the image. This stuff is coming from the left, and 2024 is going to be hard with artificial intelligence. To hear them say we are not ready for it is basically means the Republicans are about to get worked over on artificial intelligence in the election, that they won't be ready for it, and the Democrats have been working on it for years. That's what it tells me. We'll talk about that more later on a future podcast, not today. Miller Lite is in hot water. Apparently, they've decided that Bud Light's not alone, but get this. How lucky is Miller Lite? They went woke before Bud Light and didn't get caught, or at least people didn't notice. Miller Lite in March, a month before the Dylan Mulvaney campaign with Bud Light, did a pretty long video commercial online with a woman, an actress, who's walking around, and she's walking around a room that's Miller Lite. It's like, here's Miller Lite, and this is our marketing area, and look at all these ads that we've done through the years, and there's a sign that says, it's Miller time, which is fine. That one can stay. And she says, all the way back to the Mesopotamians, it was women that brewed the beer for the men. And you know where this is going, because Elizabeth Hitch is their director of marketing, and she is a wokester. And she decided she was going to put her mark on Miller Lite for women. For what reason, I don't know. The problem with liberals, and Elizabeth Hitch is a liberal, a wild-ass liberal running Miller Lite and their marketing. The problem with these liberals in these spots is it's always, liberalism is always more important to them than the main goal. The main goal here is to sell beer. Marketing is about selling Miller Lite. Her main goal was her personal struggle as a woman. We got to go. We got to promote women. Women, 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 women. And I understand the beer companies, apparently Bud Light and Miller Lite, hired woke leftist women to run their marketing, saying, we got all these men. It sure would be nice if we had some women customers. That's corporate greed. You're the number one and the number two beer in America. Why would you mess with that? Apparently, Miller Lite was thinking, if we can get more women, we can pass Bud Light. And Bud Light's like, if we don't get more women, we're going to fall from number one. And so they're all thinking women. So they hire woke women, and they blow it. And in this campaign, a woman, not Hitch, not that woman, walks around this building and said, after the Mesopotamian women and for centuries, how did the beer industry pay homage to the founding mothers of beer? They put us in bikinis. And she picks up this giant framed picture of an old Miller Lite ad with a hot chick in a bikini. And she grabs it and she throws it on the ground. Now, what dudes drinking Miller Lite want to see that shattered? They'd rather hang it in their garage. Old pieces of advertising art are worth money. They are. They're collectibles. She goes on to say that Miller Lite is spending, I don't know how much money, ridiculous amounts of money, buying back as much of their old, mistaken, misogynistic, women are beautiful advertisements that they possibly can. This campaign, I am not making this up. We're buying bad shit and turning it into good shit. That's what they say on this spot. I'm sorry I didn't edit that out. I'm just telling you what this campaign is. And it's supposed to be somewhat humorous. And she's walking around in this marketing department. She's picking off all these old ads and going, see this? We're buying this bad shit and we're turning it into good shit. How do we do it? We send it to recycling. We turn it into compost. The compost goes into the ground. It goes into the ground and makes great hops, which brews excellent beer. And what are we doing with all this compost and fertilizer? As we're recycling all this stuff that apparently was insulting to women, they're going to send the free compost, turning bad shit into good shit, to female brewers around the country. What? Have you ever sat in a business meeting? And I'm a simple guy. I'm like, for the most part, find one good thing and do it. Right? But you've been in the meetings where somebody takes that one good idea and tries to add 17 layers to it. I had partners like this. And they'd be like, well, we have to do this and this and this. We're going to do this event. We're going to have this great event for all the listeners. Oh, we got to do this and 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 this. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going on the radio and I'm going to tell people what we're mainly doing is going and doing this. They're like, yeah, but don't forget this and this and this and this and this and this and this. I'm like, it's too much. It's too complicated. That's not what they're coming for. They're coming for A, not B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and J. That's not what they're coming for. They're coming for A. Well, that's what Miller Lite's doing here. There's so much of this stuff. They're going to turn bad stuff into good stuff. They're going to recycle it. They're checking every box, every liberal woke box there is. We're doing all this, all in the name of making good by the women that we objectified apparently through the years. And eventually we're going to turn it into compost and we're going to send it to female brewers only and let them brew some tasty beer. This is circulating the internet in pretty wild fashion at this point, and we'll see if there is any effect with Miller Lite. It is not Dylan Mulvaney. It's not. See, the Dylan Mulvaney thing was just sweet and simple. It was one man wearing women's clothes and makeup with her face on a can, drinking the beer in a bubble bath. And that's very easy for people to digest. The Miller Lite thing maybe was made more nefarious. They really were taking great thought into how they were going to do this. Bud Light's just like, let's send $10,000 to Dylan Mulvaney and do this. Either way, it's bad. And we'll see what happens with Miller Lite. Sports coming right up, brought to you by Back 9 Development, your custom home builder. Custom homes are still doing very well right now, folks. Home building, in many cases, is going very well for folks that have the money. Folks that don't want to go out and get the 7% mortgage, it's going pretty well. Back 9 Development could be your custom builder. I think you're really going to like TJ. There's really only one thing that matters. Look, I built a house and had a wonderful experience with my builder. I have a friend who's a neighbor two doors away that just moved into their house a few months ago that had a terrible experience with their builder. And I hear people say all the time they have a bad experience. TJ's your guy. TJ is your guy. If you want it to be seamless, if you want it to be smooth, if you want it to be honest and upfront and straightforward the entire process, TJ Vilkanskas and Back 9 Development are your partner. 785-236-0161. Custom homes, commercial properties, room additions. Can't recommend them more highly. You want to see the portfolio? Log on to the website, back9development.com. Window World. If you're going to fix up the house you're currently in, Window World is the way to go. Windows, siding, and doors, all made in America with lifetime warranties and 0% financing available. J.D. Power & Associates Customer Service Award. Simply the best for less is Window World. They're the official windows of the Chiefs. Talk about checking boxes. There it is. Made in America, 0%, lifetime warranty, partners with the Chiefs, J.D. Power Awards. It's Window World. You're going to be, you hear all these other companies. Don't. The other companies copy Window World. They've all come in the game after Window World. It's crazy. Window World is simply the best for less. They're the original. WindowsKansasCity.com. And Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Outdoor furniture is very popular in May. Get yours now. They've got all kinds of different models in stock, ready to go. Take home today or have delivered if it's bigger furniture. They have 60 months, no interest available if you'd like to go that route. Arash Amini's the proprietor there. And I've known Arash since the 90s. He's also got wonderful Amini's Gallerias in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. If you know folks in those places, they can buy there too. Mention the podcast anywhere you go. You're part of the family. It matters. Game room, Options include pinball machines, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard, the best anywhere. Not the best in the Midwest, the best in America. I mean, I can't say it, but your favorite quarterback, I don't even think you want to know what he's dropped for his new house on stuff for his new house at Amini's. That's the place he went. Of course it is. And it's cash buy. He's not doing spots for him. He went in and dropped a pile at Amini's because that's where the good stuff is. For his game room, for his swimming pool, for his everything he's got. Amini's is where it's at in Kansas City. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. All right, that quarterback's brother, Jackson Mahomes, is in big trouble. There is now a new report that more information came out on Monday through the police in Johnson County that he shoved the male waiter in the office. We knew that there'd been a charge of abuse that is not sexual abuse, and that's what this was. He shoved a waiter in the office of that restaurant, Aspen's in Overland Park, because the waiter came in to retrieve his water bottle. Mahomes later sent people to try to go apologize for him before apologizing, so he must have shoved him pretty good. Jackson Mahomes is a big person. He's a big man. More on that in a moment. He is due in court on Tuesday, and according to the report on Monday, multiple occasions he grabbed and made advances on the woman at Aspen's, and she told him no, to get lost, to get off, and he didn't. The woman then went to her boyfriend and told him, and he kicked Jackson Mahomes and all of his friends out of Aspen's. That was the end of it. It sounds like there were previous unwanted advances before this all occurred, and according to authorities, it's all on video because there's video cameras in that office. Now the weird part of the story. I didn't know what to do exactly on Saturday, so I did nothing. We had some friends give us a call and say, hey, we went to this cool place called Tin Roof. It's in Westport, and my alarm's already going off like, Westport? Ah. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. You guys want to have a couple of beers, go to Tin Roof and hear live country music at a place called Tin Roof, which is out of Nashville. I'll drive. Great. We go down there at 4 o'clock on Saturday. I said, we're leaving before dark. My rules. I'm driving. I'll be designated driver. Let's go. We're out of there before dark. We can come back to my house, sit on the patio, whatever. Great. Everybody's in agreement. We get down there. First of all, there's no country music anywhere to be found in this country bar. It's all, at this point, a DJ, and it's hip-hop, which is fine. They're busy, they're crowded, that's their clientele. I am not their clientele. I'm not asking them to change anything for me. I'm just telling you about our experience. It was a bizarre day. Our friends that we were with, the couple we were with, much younger than us. It was okay with them at that point. They're like, oh yeah, the bands will start here at 5, and then they didn't. They started at 6, and so now we're waiting. And the band that started was like a heavy metal band back in a back room. We're like out on that. So we go back to where it's sort of indoor, outdoor, and we're starving. Like we get a table, we order some appetizers, and Jessica hits me with a rib and goes, oh my God, he's here. I said, what? She goes, turn around. And I turn around. We're sitting at a table with the back to the bar, which is an outdoor bar. And I turn around and like 3 feet behind me with his back to me is Jackson Mahomes. And he's with a girl, a woman. And he's dressed flamboyantly, and he is a striking person, as everyone knows. He's like 6'4". The big, tall, athletic, thin guy, played basketball. I don't know anything at this point about his sexual preferences, whatever. We see what we see. We've heard what we've heard. We know what we know. But apparently, he's maybe hanging out with more women now, and he's with a girl. And the strangest thing happens with Jackson Mahomes. Again, I can't see this, but they're telling me at the table because I've got my back to him. I see him. I see what's going on. They order at the bar. I couldn't tell if they ordered a drink. I can't tell you that. They bring the food to them on a tray, and he goes with this girl. I kid you not. He goes with this woman around the bar and into a private office at Tin Roof. They take their food in there. They close the door. We never saw him again. I mean, that's what this guy does. He goes out in public to be seen and then has to go into the private office everywhere he goes. You know, that's what he was demanding a couple of years ago at that bar in not really Midtown, near downtown. I forget the name of it. He was demanding a special place for him and his friends so they didn't have to be with the public. Look, he's easy to spot. He dresses that way. He wants to be seen. He doesn't want to be talked to. So I know this game. He walks in. He walks through. He walks to the back part of the bar where everybody sees him walk in. Then he finds a spot at the bar where he turns his back basically on the entire restaurant where nobody can come up and talk to him. There was no way to come up and walk up to him unless you came up from behind, which is a little rude. So people don't generally do that. And that's what he did. It was bizarre. Apparently he's back in court on Tuesday. We'll see how that plays out for him. Chiefs news, real court news, non-court news. Chiefs have signed Echo Boydo from Lawrence High and Kansas State University. He is a cornerback and he's a player. He was not drafted, a little undersized. He's got some things, but he's that guy you want to have on your team. You say that guy can scrap, he can fight, he can play. So he'd been offered an invite by the Commanders in Washington to come in. And the Chiefs said, we would like to offer you some sort of an extended deal. Now, what that means, I don't know. But it sounds like that's some sort of an offer of, at worst, we're going to keep you on the practice squad and try to develop you as a cornerback. Can't have too many of these guys. And I think he is the kind of guy you want on your team. We'll see. I think it's interesting. You're basically... You can't say outbid because that's not what you're doing. This is going to be a minimum player. You're going to play for the minimum no matter what. But apparently they made some sort of concession to him that seemed a little more extended, long-term, or guaranteed, or at least led him to believe that, than did the Commanders. And he's thrilled to be signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. And his name is Echo. It's E-K-O-W. His last name is B-O-Y-D-O-E. Boy Doe. Echo Boy Doe. That's the way they said it at Kansas State. Royals news, nothing good. Almost no hit on Monday night. Michael Wacha is having a terrible year for the Padres. 7 no-hit innings, 100 pitches, they took him out. He would have thrown a no-hitter. The Royals had no chance. Now, I'm different than most managers. I know the Padres are playing for October. Good for them. I'm sorry, Michael Wacha's got a no-hitter through 7. He's getting the ball back. And I'm just going to tell him, you got to limit your pitches. I don't want to see any balls. You're up 4-0. If you give up a solo home run, who cares? Throw strikes. I want you out of this game under 120. Michael Wacha pitched games as a high schooler, and if he went to college, a college pitcher where he threw 120. He's at 100. It's the big leagues. You're making a lot of money. The place is packed. The crowd was huge in San Diego on Monday night. They love the Padres. It's the only game in town. They got a chance to see a no-hitter. They're all staying to see it. And out of the game he comes. Well, Michael Massey comes up in the 8th inning and gets a single, so the Royals don't get no hit, but they stink. They stink, they stink, they stink. Kansas football headline. How about this one? Kansas has a commitment from Dylan Brooks, a former top 100 defensive end, 4-star player out of Alabama, who is transferring from Auburn to Kansas. Why is this important? Well, I always like to point to something Gary Pinkel used to tell me all the time when he was on my radio show on a weekly basis. He said, really, you can make the game more complicated than it is, but I'm a college football coach. If you give me a good quarterback and a good pass rusher, I can win a lot of games. You give me like a star player. In those days, it was the Big 12. He's meaning like a top half quarterback, which he always had. And a top half defensive end. So you're looking for one of the 5 best in your league. If you got one of the 5 best quarterbacks, one of the 5 best pass rushers in your league, you'll win. Give you an example. Last year, Kansas State had Felix Anudike Azama, best pass rusher in the league, statistically, over his career, and the best pass rusher. When Will Howard started playing instead of Adrian Martinez, they now had one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the league. And what did they do? They won. They also had a magical running back, but nothing to write home about, really, at receiver. Their offensive line was good. They had some guys in the secondary that could play. They had good players around the field. I'm not saying that, but most Big 12 SEC teams have good players on the field at many positions. What you covet, and what I like about what Lance Leipold is doing here, he covets the 2 most important positions, quarterback, pass rusher. So this is kind of a big deal. KU lost its best pass rusher last year. They've signed or got commitments from 3 or 4 guys. They're attacking this position with numbers, and this is a highly touted, highly decorated guy. Not the biggest guy in the world, but he's a little bit like Felix at K-State. He makes up for it with his power, his speed, his technique, and they're pleased to have Dylan Brooks. KU Hoops has a sad story this week. Nothing for any upcoming games. Frank Mason, you may recall, was National Player of the Year at the University of Kansas. He played for the Sacramento Kings for a while, was in Europe. This is one of the worst stories I've ever heard. Frank Mason, while in Sacramento with the Kings, took all of his Big 12 title rings, game jerseys from KU, important games, apparently some jerseys that he traded players with, also some Sacramento Kings stuff that he had. I don't know what he had exactly, jerseys, game worn, maybe signed or traded with other NBA players. His combine packet, which was, I guess, has different, I don't know, worthy stuff, his National Player of the Year trophy, and his gold medal from the university games. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars. Those Big 12 championship rings are worth thousands. And what do you have, four of them? I mean, a trophy, a gold medal, probably has real gold in it. All these jerseys. He put them in a storage unit, a safe storage unit. Then he went off to Greece or somewhere and started playing basketball. This is on him, folks. They're positioning this like it's not on him. But I don't care where you go work in the world, you got to take care of your stuff. Maybe he'll blame an agent or something like that, I don't know. But he had these in the secure facility, the storage place, and he stopped paying the rent. He stopped. And by California law, after 6 months or something, if you haven't paid rent and you're not responding to them, and you're not promising you're going to pay them, which none of this happened, they can just crack it open and sell your stuff off. And they did. They cracked open that facility, and they sold it all to one person for how much? All of that stuff. One low price. Oh, yeah, it's an auction company, apparently, that has it now. Bought all that stuff for $3,400. Wow, because Frank Mason didn't pay rent. So it's up for auction now. You can buy it as it goes to auction if Frank Mason doesn't get it first. They're working with Frank, apparently, on paying back all the back rent and then paying the people that own this stuff now a really nice profit, because I think they'd like, for publicity's sake, for him to get it all back. Does Frank Mason have the money to do this? I don't know. Some booster want to step up and help him? I think they can do that now. I don't know how this is going to end, but it seems sad that just being a dumb young guy and not paying your bills has cost you all your personal stuff. That's a sad story. We wish him the best, and we hope he gets it all back. Our final is coming right up, brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Many of you have called Buck Roofing, love the free roof inspection, and then you say, nothing to see here. I'm good for five more years. That's awesome. Some of you have said, I knew I needed a new roof. I needed it 3 years ago, and I waited. Buck Roofing did a great job and took good care of me and my property while they were doing the job. That's Ron, rbuckroofing.com or 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Advanced medical imaging, see what's inside. MedImageKS.com. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, they work with your insurance company. They'll take it all. All major insurance accepted for MRIs and CT scans, or you just want to get the heart scan, it's under $100 out of your pocket. MedImageKS.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control was here yesterday. Aaron's nephew was the technician, and he is something else, man. This young guy is a talker. And I don't mean like he stands around and talks. Like, he's doing the job and talking, and he moves fast. He is efficient. He is fast. He is incredible. And he came in. I told you we had these little itty-bitty, teeny-tiny little red mites. They came through our sliding glass door off our back patio when it rained last week. And he goes, yep, we're seeing these everywhere. They're so small that the door can't stop them. And then he's spraying, he's like, there is nothing else. And he said what the name of them are. I don't even know what they are. He's like, nothing reproduces faster than these things. So it's important when you see them to get on them right away. And then, you know, because then there winds up being hundreds of them. They reproduce apparently very, very quickly. They almost look like something developed by AI. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm missing the point. Advantage Termite and Pest Control came right out when we called them. No charge. We have the regular service quarterly, so when things like that pop up, they just come out and do the work. Unbelievably great business. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Our final is something we do typically with our patrons post for the patrons on the weekends. I always like to put a lottery story in there at the end for our patrons about somebody somewhere that something weird happened with the lottery, but it's always about a winner. Well, I could have saved this for Saturday, but I couldn't. I just couldn't stand it. So I'm sharing it with the entire KKHI audience right now. We have three $50,000 winners in the Kansas City area this week. In 1 week, we have $50,000 winners in Kearney, Independence, and Kansas City. These are all Missouri Lottery. Missouri Lottery put this information out on Monday. And they said one of them in Independence was a Powerball ticket that won 50 grand. The other in Kansas City was a Show Me Cash ticket or something. But the one in Kearney was a game they call in Missouri the $1 million Cash Extravaganza Scratcher. And they said, yeah, this is worth $50,000. And they went on to, in the release, say, but wait, there's $21 million in prizes left on those scratchers in Missouri, the $1 million Cash Extravaganza Scratchers. There's $21 million in prizes left. Once they print a run of these scratchers, it's over. So when they're gone, they're gone. There's $21 million left, including three more $50,000 winners and the $1 million grand prize. So I don't know how many of these tickets have been sold. I don't know how many are gone. But the $1 million ticket has not come forward yet. Now, again, you have to come forward. So somebody has to know they have it. And there are definitely occasions where somebody idiot scratches a ticket, wins $1 million and doesn't know it. That's happened plenty. So it's not 100% sure that it hasn't been sold, but it is not likely at this point that the $1 million ticket or three more $50,000 tickets have been sold. They're not overly expensive. I don't know how many there are. And it begs the question, when I watched that movie that the guy from Breaking Bad was in, I'm so terrible with actor names. He's really good. Really good actor. He was a math guy that worked for a company there and was forced to retire early. And he figured out a scheme with the Massachusetts Lottery where he and his wife would drive from Michigan to Massachusetts every couple of weeks and they'd buy up all the tickets. They'd run them out of them. They bought them all. And because the odds were then, okay, they're in your favor. I forget exact details of how it worked. But the question I have now is what if you bought if there's $21 million in prizes left, there can't be $21 million in tickets left, can there? If the $1 million prize is still sitting out there, aren't the odds in your favor that if you could find a way to buy every single one of those tickets, I'll bet right now that's profitable. Because they're promoting it. They want those tickets sold. So there you go. They're called the $1 million Cash Extravaganza Scratchers. If I go to Missouri on National Barbecue Day today for my brisket sandwich, which I might, or a place I'm thinking about is within 4 blocks of Missouri. It's actually within 4 blocks of a Quick Trip that's in Missouri. Then maybe I'll pick up some of these $1 million Cash Extravaganza Scratchers. Congratulations to the winners in Kearney, Independence, and Kansas City, winning 50 grand in the last week with the lottery. Cool stuff. And thank you for listening to KKHI. Please hit the like, follow, or subscribe button. It's absolutely free. And tell a friend, if you don't mind, that you think Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.